A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
And before you talk, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay, go ahead.
Why are you stealing my North Carolina cases?
I know. Well, I was going to say...
I'm going to start busting on all these Connecticut cases.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you a little about why at the end. I don't want to go from the backwards part to the beginning because it'll kind of give
blah,
away
blah, blah.
Part of what the theories are. I know you're picking on me, but I know you would do the same thing.
Oh, I would. I've actually Googled and knew that this is a North Carolina case, but I didn't dig into it. So I'm excited you're doing it.
Yes, I'm actually hitting like a really nice stride here. I found a couple of cases that are really awesome, like right from the get-go, and it's not one of those things where I start reading about it and I'm like, wow, this is great, and then at the end you're like, wait, this can't work for us for whatever reason. But I've just found a couple of awesome cases. I actually have already prepared my next case.
Well, that's good, because everyone's gonna get you 2 weeks in a row because they just had me 2 weeks in a row.
Well, you know, that's how things happen with us, right?
Amy didn't know that, or she didn't forgot.
No, I knew that, but I'm just saying, like, that's how things happen. You get to a point where you're, I don't know, hitting a stride or something, or...
Yeah.
And then something always takes you back, but that's with life, right?
Right. Well, it was only because I wanted to drop the Patreon with my episode, etc.,
yeah,
etc.
And I hope you guys really liked that, because... Melissa is really
That was a marathon recording session, and we loved it.
Yeah, it was different for us. We shook things up a little bit. And Melissa, I have to give you credit, because you always come up with these, not like crazy or outlandish ideas, but there's always a little bit of a twist, and I appreciate that. I hope you guys appreciate that. I hope it keeps you on your toes a little bit. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so dig in. Let's go. I'm excited for this case.
All right, so now you all know that it's a North Carolina case, and I don't even know how I stumbled on it, quite frankly. Oh, I do know how I stumbled on it. I was, for pleasure, watching Disappeared episodes on my Amazon Prime account. Unfortunately, you have to purchase episodes that... most of the episodes, and it's only a couple of bucks, and it's fine with me for me to get my fill. And I purchased an episode, and I went to go watch it, and I hit another episode, and I purchased it by accident. So this case was the accidental purchase case. And I'm so glad. I feel like it was meant to be, you know? It was a really good and a really lucky find, and... I was all in. There was no question for me. So, with that being said, the case I'm going to cover today is of Tierra Williams. Tierra Williams was born on June 18th of 1996. So, even though she's missing and she's been missing for a couple of years, she is still a baby to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Her parents had Tierra, and... then a couple of years later, they had her brother, Cannon. Tierra's parents broke up pretty early on in her and her brother's life. And Tierra's mom, in essence, became a single mother. I don't know exactly what the terms are in the Disappeared episode that I watched and several articles that I read, because there's a lot of information. It was very easy to find, which, side note, is a treat for me lately. But... there's no indication that it was, amicable breakup, or if it was a good, I don't know. There's really nothing about it. It's just they broke up, and in essence, Tierra's mother became a single mother, so I can only assume that she was on her own raising her two children. Tierra was a good kid. There were no issues. She had a really good family life. She was close with her mother. She was close with her grandmother. She was close with her grandfather. She, as you can imagine, you being the older sibling, it's a natural thing, I think, and I watch this with my own children, that the older one is the caregiver, the protector, the, maybe you could say, like, little mother, right?
My sister would tell you I was super annoying, and I used to tell on her all the time.
So,
because I was trying to protect her.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the same thing that I see in my children's relationship. But even more so in a single parent household, I think that that older child takes on the caregiving, the overprotective nature, but also a lot of that mothering stuff. Because as you'd imagine, at some points, they're probably alone together and she's responsible for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you can relate. So, like I said, she has these good family relationships. There is nothing ever indicating that there was anything contentious or volatility in any of the relationships. Tierra ended up graduating from high school in Greensboro, North Carolina in 2014. Tierra wasn't exactly sure what she wanted to do. I think, just from what I gather and what people have said about her, is that she wanted independence. She probably knew that she wanted to go on to school, but I think that she needed to do a few things for her inner self first and fulfill that before she moved on to whatever she wanted to do. So she took this year off from school and she moved in with her grandmother, which was close enough by. It's not states away or anything. And everyone thinks that she wanted more independence, but what universally is said in every article in the Disappeared episode is that Tierra wanted to move in with her grandmother because she didn't want her grandmother to be living alone, which indicates that her grandfather and her grandmother are not together, but she still maintains a relationship with both. So a little bit about Tierra's personality and her character is, basically starting in high school, she's very much like any other teenager that we know. She's social, she makes friends easily, and of course she gets into social media. 2012, 2013, 14, all when she was in high school, really was a time when social media was pretty solidified, I would say. There was an Instagram, there was a Facebook. I don't know if there was a Snapchat, but there were these, you know, prevalent sites, and it was easy access or whatever. Tierra's mom was really good about it, though, in the fact that she monitored her daughter's account and who she was talking to and all of that. So she had boats of friends, probably hundreds, thousands of followers, what have you. And as a teenager, I think that all of these people are your friends, right? Even if they're acquaintances or maybe even it's a person of a person. I don't know. But, you know, that's just kind of the way it was. And because social media is so prevalent on devices, I don't know that anyone even goes on them on computers anymore, frankly, right?
Right, that's fair.
So, as you'd suspect, she always had her phone on her. She was attached to her phone. So, inevitably, Tierra decides that she wants to go back to school. She actually has an interest in early childhood development. She's always been a big fan of kids. She loves them. They basically respond really well to her. It was like a really natural fit for her to go into early childhood education. And she started the admission paperwork to go to Guilford Technical Community College in the Greensboro area. And this is in late 2015. At the time of Tierra's disappearance, she was in the process, like I said, of completing enrollment for the January 2016 semester. on January 7th of 2016, it was pretty normal day. Early in the morning, Tierra is up and she is ready to go. She has a plan and she was supposed to go to and did go to Guilford Technical to complete her admission paperwork and all the enrollment. She had to get her student badge and all that stuff. Whatever she did with her day is unclear, but it doesn't seem very relevant because nothing has ever indicated that it is linked to her disappearance. And at 6 p.m., Tierra then goes to her mother's house. Now, remember, Tierra lives with her grandmother, so in essence, she's going to her mother's house to visit. And she shows up, and she's just glowing with excitement. And this is because she's got a plan. She's got a direction. She's happy. She completed something. She's ready to go to school. And her and her mother had made plans to go pretty much the next day to make sure that she had all her school supplies, books, things of that nature. And while she was there, her mother also had her take down the Christmas tree. Now it's 7 days in, and if you're like me, you like the Christmas tree down on the first. That day, no longer. And if you're even better than me, which is most people, your Christmas tree is out on the curb December 26th.
So that's me. My husband is not like that, but I do.
Really? I would never have guessed. But anyway, I guess they had this deal, like, Tira's mother wasn't going to put up a tree, and Tira begged. And she's like, okay, if you put it up and you decorate it, then you're going to have to take it down. Tierra's like, well, okay, I'll do it. So her mom was probably like, yeah, it's time, Tierra. Get the tree out of my house. So at some point, Tierra's brother, Cannon, and Tierra's boyfriend, who also seems to be a friend of Cannon's, come to Tierra's mother's home. And they eventually leave and they go back to Tierra's grandmother's home. And they all go together. And it seemed as if they were just going to kind of lounge, watch TV, hang out. When around 8:30, Tierra announced that she was briefly running out to see a friend. And this friend was Travis. Well, no one actually really questioned it, even though they didn't recognize the name Travis. They were just kind of like, okay.
And what time was this again?
This is at 8:30. And she kind of gave a time frame. She said, I'll be back in about an hour.
Okay, so not too late.
No. And nothing to be worried about. I mean, she's going out for, 1 hour. So, no big deal. She's going to be home around 9:30. So, the boys ended up going back to Tierra's boyfriend's house. And they play video games. They hang out. 9:30 or so, they're realizing that Tierra isn't home. She hasn't texted anybody. They kind of think it's a little weird. They start trying to contact her, and they get no indication that she's getting the messages, or she's not responding, in other words. They wake up the next day, or Tierra's boyfriend wakes up the next day, and he still hasn't heard from Tierra. And he's getting a little bit concerned, and he had to go out.
Did she have a car? Like, how did she get to go see this guy?
She told her brother and her boyfriend that she was going within the complex to see this friend. So it would have been in walking distance.
Okay.
And they just didn't know who it was. Eventually, Tier's boyfriend calls Tier's grandmother and is like, haven't seen her. She's not home. And when they start to call her, then her phone's just going to voicemail. So eventually, Tierra's boyfriend contacts Tierra's mother, and Tierra's mother is also trying to contact her, and nothing happens. So they do report her missing, and police pretty much jump on this. Tierra does not have a history of running away or any type of behavior like that, and they seem to not brush it off, as we've heard in the past in other cases, as, oh, well, she's an adult and she can kind of do what she wants or whatever. They kind of get involved immediately. But Tyr's mother doesn't wait around either, and she wants to know what's going on. So Tyr's boyfriend had said, hey, she went to go see Travis. Well, Tyr's mother, although, you know, they might not be as close anymore, they're close enough, and she's like, I don't recognize that name Travis. So she starts going through Tyr's Facebook friends list and social media friends list, and there's no one by the name of Travis.
That's a really smart way to go, though. Like, that's a really smart thing for her to do.
Absolutely, but it gets more genius.
Okay.
She actually somehow guesses the password to get into Tyr's social media.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, there's no one's password I can guess. And granted, it's her child, and she probably knows her in and out like nobody else. I'm sorry. Like, you got into her Facebook account. That's amazing. So she's going through the friends list and everything and poking around. So then she goes to her direct messages, or like the like Facebook messages that are private. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
She's looking at all her conversations, and one of the last one catches her attention, and it's from one of Tyr's ex-boyfriends. And it seems as if they were talking for quite a bit. And I guess it's safe to say that Mom wasn't a big fan, but there was nothing that was indicated by her that I read or heard on the Dispirit episode as to exactly why. Like, no one said anything, for example, like he had a criminal record, or
they just didn't like him.
They didn't like him. So Tyr's mother wonders if this was kind of like an alias that she gave him. Maybe he was the Travis, and she just didn't want to tell anyone that she was talking to her ex-boyfriend because no one liked him, and she didn't want to be given a hard time about it, right?
And she had a new boyfriend.
And they hadn't been together that long. Granted, that's no reason to go behind anyone's back or anything like that, but there were some indications that she was probably going to break up with him soon, but she was like a really nice girl, and she had a hard time hurting people's feelings.
Okay.
But more on that later. Basically, Tyr's mom tells the investigators, hey, I got into my daughter's social media account, and I'm suspicious about this, and I think that you should look into it. I guess investigators kind of agreed that was a little suspicious, so they brought the ex-boyfriend in for questioning, and it gets a little suspicious because at first he's like, no, I haven't talked to Tyra in a while or whatever. And police are like, oh, really? Well, can you tell us a little bit about this? And they present him kind of with the evidence that, yeah, we know that you've been talking to her. And then he's like, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I was talking to her. And he said that he had been talking to her before she had disappeared, but we still don't know if this is the Travis that she was referring to. There could really be a Travis, for all we know. So we know that she was talking to her ex-boyfriend. We just can't link it to the name Travis. He says that, yes, they were talking, and they met up that night that she disappeared. She got into his car, and they talked for 15 to 30 minutes, and then she exited the car. And the last time he saw her was she was walking back towards her grandmother's apartment. This all matched the messages sent between the two, and it was enough to go and search his car. So,
what if good.
They search his car. And, well, unfortunately, there was nothing at all to be found in the car. So what do police do? They're like, well, gosh, we have to search more into her life. What else is going on? They found that Tyr had been talking to another ex-boyfriend. This guy does have a name, and his name is Trey. And while they had a pretty loving relationship, he still cared for her. She still cared for him. it, for whatever reason, just didn't work out. And they were completely on friendly terms. And I believe in the disappeared episode, Tyr's mother said that she even reached out to him personally to talk to him. And she felt so convinced that he was really distraught about the situation and that he had nothing to do with it. And evidently, the police felt the exact same way because they kind of shut that down and, you know, they found him cooperative and he was no longer a person of interest.
But they didn't actually clear him. They just said he's no longer a person of interest. Or did they fully clear him?
I believe that he was just no longer a person of interest because unfortunately, roughly a month after her disappearance, Trey was found murdered. And at first it looked really bad and they thought, oh my gosh, this must be related somehow. But it turned out that this was a altercation that Trey had with his roommate and he ended up getting shot. So
okay.
They didn't think that he had anything to do with it originally, but now that he's gone, I mean, either way, we can't pursue anything, right? And there's no indication that the disappearance and the shooting were linked in any way. That brings us to a couple of tips that came in. And this all happened within months of the disappearance. So there were two tips, and they were very similar, and they seemed to be credible. And one person was a sanitation worker, and on their route for work, they called in and said that they believed that they saw someone resembling Tierra, and she looked disoriented, and she was kind of walking down the street. Another person called in and said pretty much the same thing, but in a different area, not too far away. Nothing ever came of it. They weren't able to find any other information about that.
I was going to say, that sounds promising, but...
Yeah, it totally sounds promising. And to think about her parents that probably got their hopes up. I mean, it's simply put, just very discouraging. Another tip came in where someone believes that they overheard someone talking about her disappearance. Police were able to investigate that and determine that it had nothing to do with it. Then a big tip comes in, and it is so promising. Around April of 2016, there was a tip called in that a Waffle House server in Georgia believes she had seen Tierra several times a week coming into a Waffle House regularly. She didn't really speak. She was shy. She didn't make eye contact. And as you would have it, Tierra's grandfather basically went to this Waffle House in Georgia. He staked it out. He talked to people and literally waited for this girl to come back in, and she never did. The last sighting, I believe, was a family member or a family friend who believed they saw her at the DMV. And
what?
Had even called out her name. And the girl did respond. And she said something along the lines of, I'm not her, but I'll pray for her. And they actually had surveillance of this girl at the DMV, but it was determined not to be Tierra. And that last tip was around June of 2016. So there was a lot of things going on from the time of her disappearance in January until June of that year, but there's really been nothing else that has provided a promising lead after June of 2016.
Cool.
So here we are.
Did anyone ever say she visited that friend that she went to go visit in the apartment complex, or is that just made up?
So she had GPS on her phone, and it seemed to determine that she made it to the friend's house and was leaving, and shortly thereafter, her phone either died or it was deliberately shut off.
You can't see my face, but...
Of course, right? Which drives me insane because this whole complex, not a person, not a camera, which I don't think there was any, captured anything at all. No one heard anything. No one saw anything. Granted, it was January. I don't think people are just hanging out outside, even though it's not as cold as it is in Connecticut, in North Carolina, but not a person had anything to add. Police canvassed the whole area. They weren't able to determine anything. So, I'm sure you want to know the theories.
Yeah, do that now.
Well, the good news is police don't believe that Tierra walked away from her life or that she ran away. Either way, however you want to put it. They do believe that something happened to her. A theory is just like a random abduction, right? Someone just had the opportunity and did this. Another theory is human trafficking, which we'll get more into that in a minute. And the other theory is the unidentified ex-boyfriend, which makes the most sense. And you could make cases for leaving your life and things like that. And let me just kind of write that off right now. I mean, things were going great for her. She enrolled in school. She spent the morning at the school trying to enroll to make sure everything was set. She was only going out for an hour. She took only her phone. And everyone swears that this girl is glued to her phone. If she knew her phone was dying or whatever, she wouldn't have traveled anywhere without a charger. She wouldn't have just left with her phone, period. So there's no indication to me that you would stand up from your couch at 8:30 at night and say, I'm leaving for an hour and actually never come back and not take anything with you. Don't people generally just leave, you know, when no one's around? Like, they don't come home from work, or you come home and all their stuff is gone. Things like that. Like, you don't stand up from some type of family gathering and just leave your life. I don't think.
Well, I mean, you can see, I don't know. Derek, for me, stood up from a friend's house and said, hey, I'm leaving, so I'm going to bed, and then ended up leaving his life. So I don't know. But go on. I don't actually think that's what happened, though. So.
No, and I think that it's good to really tease it out anyway. But you're absolutely right about Derek. I mean, if we didn't have the video footage of him, it would have simply been he stood up from his friend's house and left, you know, and was never seen again. But we know that there were events that happened to him or with him several hours after he disappeared. So it totally makes sense to me.
Right. I agree with you.
And I guess now you're making me think of Derek, because I'm like, he would never leave his life. He's a doctor. He's never, you know, like, what could be bad going on for him? He seems happy. And I guess the same could be said for her.
Right.
On the other hand, it seems to me that a person like Derek would have more means leaving their life than someone like Tierra.
Sure. Let's keep going, because I don't think that's what happened. Like, I'm not on that. But
right, but we don't want tunnel vision either.
Right.
So I think it's fair, definitely, to tease that out. Human trafficking. Now, when I started to look into human trafficking, I will say, I'm not going to lie. Like, it was one of the first things I thought, okay? Aside from the ex-boyfriend. But I did start looking into the area that she lived in, which was the Greensboro area of North Carolina. And what I found was that, well, I couldn't find any statistics specifically, but according to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, North Carolina is ranked one of the top 10 states for human trafficking.
Cool.
And
glad I live here.
Specifically, yes, please be careful. In all seriousness, everyone. So when I was looking into it a little bit more, what I read was that human trafficking is most prevalent in the Piedmont Triad, which, if you go to the maps, this is Guilford County and Greensboro is smack in the center of this triad. What it just really tells me is that this area, and not specifically Greensboro, is really high prevalence of sex trafficking, human trafficking, rather, which to me made that even more viable of a theory. And then I don't know if police believe that it's credible or not, but if this Waffle House sighting of Tierra is accurate, then it fits with some of the behaviors of someone that is trafficked, which is having very little on them, looking sullen, quiet, not making eye contact. It makes sense with vanishing out of thin air. Her phone was either turned off or dead shortly after her disappearance, which would indicate to me someone could have shut it off and knew exactly what they were doing.
Okay, did police go and talk to this friend that she visited?
Well, I wondered the same thing, and I looked all over for anything at all about it. And there was absolutely nothing, which only indicated to me that they had checked it out. They believed that she had left, and there was no reason to think that anything sinister had occurred with the friend.
But the friend did live in that complex.
Yes.
So she disappeared literally from her apartment complex.
Yeah. Yep. Then that brings us to ex-boyfriend. I don't know. There's a couple of things here. To me, it's bizarre why you would not be forthcoming that you saw her that evening.
But did he see her for sure?
Yes. So he said that they did, but I guess we could never really know. But the messages on her social media back and forth indicate, or the messages exchanged between them indicate that checked out, that they were supposed to meet up with one another.
Okay. And I hear you. But my question too is, if for some reason, and I don't know this for a fact, but if for some reason that they had seen each other and something physical or intimate had happened,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't know that she's actually missing, right? He's just like, she's missing, but, you know, at that point, you don't really know. He's not trying to blow up her spot with her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, agreed, yeah.
So I actually don't think, I don't know. I don't think her boyfriend's and her ex-boyfriend had anything to do with it.
Right. I can see that. And especially because there was nothing found in the car.
I don't like any of this, though. Okay. So I don't think it was him because, I mean, I guess it could have been him. She went to someone in the apartment complex, which we don't think is the boyfriend or the ex-boyfriend,
right.
Correct? So he would have had to, like, come through, grab her, and immediately take away her phone.
Yeah. Yes. That's accurate.
But she would have willingly gone with him, I think, based on the conversation.
Oh, I think so. And she was so nice. She probably wouldn't have said no, even if it felt uncomfortable.
Okay. But wait, her brother and her boyfriend didn't think it was weird that night that she didn't come back?
Not weird enough to call anyone. They tried her phone when she didn't come back, but they didn't get a hold of her. It wasn't until the next day when it got a little fishy.
So tell me again what happened the next day with her boyfriend and her brother.
Well, her boyfriend had woken up and she still wasn't back. He had to go somewhere. I don't know where that is. And by the time he came back, Tierra still wasn't there. So he wakes up Grandma. Grandma tries to get in touch with her. No success. Eventually.
Hold up. Wait a second. Was her boyfriend ever looked at?
Well, see, there's no indication to me that police suspect him, but in the Disappeared episode, Tierra's mother actually states that she's had some suspicions about him.
Well, yeah, because if I'm hanging out with my boyfriend and I say, hey, I'm going to ride out for an hour and I'll be back, and I don't come back, and then he goes on his day the next day.
Mind you, so she said she was going out with another guy.
For 1 hour. My boyfriend, I would assume my now husband, would be calling me being like, what are you doing? Where are you?
And his response is kind of like, I trusted her. I didn't think much of it.
Okay, you trusted her to go out for an hour to not come home?
I mean, that's fair. I think the reason that her family feels a little bit funny about him is that they think that Tierra was probably trying to break up with him. And maybe he felt that way too. Maybe he recognized that. Which would be motive to harm someone. However, I get caught in the how the heck would he have done that if he's with Tierra's brother?
Did he stay over?
No, but what happened was Tierra gets up. She's hanging out with Cannon, her brother, and Tierra's boyfriend. They're all together. She gets up. She says, I'm leaving for an hour. She leaves. The boys pick up and go back to Tierra's boyfriend's place, and they play video games together. Then Tierra's boyfriend returns to Grandma's house, where he waits for her, and she doesn't return. Although, he could have waited for her possibly outside in the complex. He could have been
mad. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because there's no indication to me that Cannon went back to Grandma's house, because he didn't live there that I know of. He could have gone back to Mom's house at that point.
Right, and I mean, I would think that someone would not be thrilled if their significant other didn't come home. So why not wait to see what time they come home?
Yeah.
And what if it's longer than an hour? Then you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're real mad. What if he looks for her phone?
Right. And then you find text messages with her ex-boyfriend. And she, at that point, she's like, you know what? Like, I was going to break up with you anyway. I'm done.
Well, what I can say is I could see why Tierra's mother would be suspicious.
I'm suspicious.
That is true, yes. I have more questions for you, sir.
Right, exactly.
And he would have had from, let's say, 9:30-ish at night when he returned home to, let's see, whenever it was that he woke up Tierra's grandmother to say, hey, she's not back. Which,
right,
we know that it's long before noon. So rough, let's just say, I don't know, 9 a.m., right?
Okay, I'm with you.
So you have between 10 and 12 hours to do something.
Right. And that's sort of what I was asking. You know, are we sure that the boyfriend wasn't a suspect, because it's weird enough that...
Well, there are no identified persons of interest that the police have released. Okay?
Okay.
So he could be a person of interest. We just don't know. But...
I
walked into this with a strong feeling about sex trafficking, and a hopeful one that she could possibly be alive, to kind of a solemn feeling of dread around her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, I kind of lean, and I hear you that sex trafficking is a valid theory, because it definitely is. I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
I just...
Well, wait a minute.
I don't know...
Wait a minute. Let me just go back for a second. Her phone was shut off shortly after 8:30. Or it died. Which...
And we know for sure her boyfriend was there?
Yes. He was definitely with Cannon.
Until when?
He returned back to Grandma's house around 9:30.
How far away does Grandma live?
I'm not sure.
So what happens if... Ready?
Okay.
Hear me out.
I hear you.
There, she leaves at what time? 7:30? Oh, she... Wait, hold on. Her phone was shut off what time?
Shortly after 8:30.
Which is when she left the house.
So what I've been able to find is that Tiara leaves at around 8:30. GPS shows that she made it to the friend's house, and shortly thereafter, her phone is either shut off or it dies.
Okay, so let's say this, right? Mm-hmm. She tells her boyfriend and her brother that she's going to see this guy.
Yep.
Right? Back in an hour. So he's like, whatever. I'm going to play video games.
Sure.
Right? 45 minutes later or so, the brother's like, all right, I'm going to head back to grandma's house. Right?
Yep.
Because he gets back around 9:30, so figure 10-minute drive or whatever.
Yep.
So boyfriend's like, all right, I'll head out with you too. He calls Tiara.
Yeah.
Her phone is off. He waits a few minutes, calls her again. Her phone is off. If that's me, okay, and I'm in a relationship, my boyfriend says, hey, I'm going to some chick's apartment, which not going to happen, but let's just pretend it does.
Yeah.
Then 45 minutes later, their phone is shut off. Let me tell you how calm I am, because I'm not. So I would probably wait. I'd be like, all right, well, you better be home in 1 hour because you just told me. And then if it's not 1 hour, let's say, or even if it is, and he's like, why did you shut your phone off? And she's like, well, I'm breaking up with you anyway or whatever. And she has the conversation.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have done something to her?
You could make it. You make a good case. Everything in that is reasonable. And it's not really a reach.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's a reach.
I actually think it fits better than human trafficking, even though it's a prevalent area for human trafficking.
I just think about how jealous he could be in that moment. And even if he wasn't a normally jealous person, anyone in that moment would be like, what?
And it was just unlucky for the ex-boyfriend that he actually did meet up with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had to have met up with her before, right? Or did he meet up with her during that time?
They met up during that time.
So she went to someone's apartment, left, met... So think about this. He's outside, her phone's off.
Yeah.
Right? And her ex-boyfriend drops her off.
No, because she gets out of the car and walks back towards grandma's. On the other hand, I don't know exactly what that looks like. Was he on the street and she walked towards the apartment?
Right. I just think that it's definitely something to think about.
I think so, too. Now, you know how you usually ask me at the end of the episode, like, what's my final answer? Like, and you always have, like, a fraction or whatever. I think I'm, like, 60-40. Boyfriend or boyfriend 60, sex trafficking 40.
That's exactly how I fall.
I don't think it was random. There's nothing to indicate to me that it's random, although nothing ever could indicate if it's random, so let's be clear on that. But there were too many other things that point to someone wanting to abduct her or harm her or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of lean toward the boyfriend.
Yeah, I think we're dead on this case, huh?
I think it's weird. I think it's...
But we're both like 60-40, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm noting this in our podcast journey journal. I'm just kidding.
You have one? I don't.
I do in this moment.
I actually would be impressed if you did.
I know, being that you manage my life for me. Thank you. I know. All right, guys. Well, I think that's where we fall. We think it's flipping suspicious about her boyfriend. And it's a close follow-up with human trafficking. But I sincerely hope... I don't hope human trafficking for anybody, but there's more hope that she will come home if it were to be human trafficking. And for that, I hope for her family. And that's all I've got.
I hope for her family. That I always hope there's answers. Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And we will be back
next week with a whole new case. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.